Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
Are the Patriots in trouble?
When I think about the Patriots, you think about Superman and Kryptonite. Us being Superman and the Patriots being Kryptonite.
Caught in the end zone, Vance McDonald.
I said the Patriots are going to be 11-5. Right. This is the only way they get to that fifth loss.
Intercepted at the 5-yard line. A wounded duck intercepted by Taylor.
We're waiting for Bing Crosby to shoot some goose out of the sky.
If you think for 1 second Tom Brady's going to play till he's 45, you're fooling.
Tom Brady was under pressure, and he threw a lollipop up.
Hey, kid, you want some candy?
Now you see what is a slightly above-average team in 2018 that we're just hanging on to their glory days for them.
Right now.
Steelers.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, 617-779-7937. Another road game and another disappointing loss for your New England Patriots. They are now 3-5. Matter of fact, they finished the season 3-5 in the road, and we'll find out here in another couple of weeks how many road games, if road games, they will be playing here in the postseason. But nobody's feeling good today. I mean, people are kind of pissed.
I don't know.
You feeling good today?
I think the players are feeling good about themselves.
I don't.
Oh, come on.
What did Bill say?
You can't base the team's personality and attitude based on what Bill says.
Right, Bill lies.
I'm walking out of there.
You
saying,
already told me.
I didn't have
lies.
Any penalties. I feel pretty good. I tell you, when a situation
what do you
like
tell
this
the other
happens,
14 guys.
When a situation like this happens, you're just lucky you're not that one of those guys. You got 14 penalties. The majority of them are on the offense. You have a couple like defensive holding. You have a PI or something like that. But the majority of them are holdings. And false starts, an illegal procedure, Edelman, I would be hiding my head in the sand right now if I was him, because it's just so elementary. It's such an easy thing to see. You can't cover up the tight end. So,
I'm just saying in the past, and all due respect, I know history doesn't mean anything, but after the way they lost down in Miami. Wouldn't the one thing that you would expect to see a Patriots team is go out and play error-free football?
Yes.
Like, you know what I mean? Don't they sort of like when they play the type of game they did in Miami and the sort of the mistakes, you're just like, wow. You just expect them to come out and play error-free. And the fact that they came out this week with so many penalties, 8 pre-snap penalties, is a huge concern. That they didn't go out there and play great football, which is something we're accustomed to seeing following losses like
yeah.
that.
No, and where the penalties came, where the drop passes came, you can go through the play-by-play, and everybody's making a big deal about, I can't believe the Patriots had to punt 5 times in a row. Well, 4 of those 5 times, they were moving the football. They were getting their offense in gear. The problem was somebody either dropped a pass in a key second or third down, or somebody committed a dumb, stupid-ass penalty on a second or third down. They could get no continuity to their offense, and they paid the price.
When you look at it, when you look at every single penalty, and you look at how that penalty affected not only that particular series, but the game overall, it's unbelievable.
23-yarder by Edelman. He drops the ball. How about a 25-yard run by Sony Michel holding Trent Brown? Unbelievable. One right after another.
And I would say when you look at it, so offsides on Trey Flowers to start the game. Then you have a delay of game penalty after a Hogan touchdown on your field goal team? On your field goal team?
Yeah. They had to bring it back.
Okay, so that's let's amazing. Keep going because we're not going to discriminate against anybody. Then you got Jonathan Jones with a pass interference. Okay, I didn't think it was. You have Gilmore with a holding. Didn't matter because Antonio Brown scored a touchdown. Then you have Brown with a holding penalty. Then you have Cannon with a false start. Then you have Kyle Van Noy, illegal man downfield on a punt. So it's special teams. Then you have a false start, illegal formation.
What was
then
the one on Allen, the holder, during the extra point?
Yeah, I was just going to get to that one.
Did you even see that?
False he did. Start.
I thought the line moved. They put it on him, and I'm like,
it was him.
What, would he put his hands up, like throw it at me? Like he's on a knee.
I almost feel like they got that one wrong. That maybe it was on Joe Cardona. Maybe
how
it was
does
on the
holder?
Center.
Yeah.
Because you kind of take your knee. Why would you be flinching?
Would he fall forward?
Was he
for the ball?
Did you see that video going around of the high school or a college basketball player who's lined up for a free throw, like as a to get the rebound, and she kind of loses her balance, and she's obviously you cross the line, shooter gets an extra shot, and she can't hold it. She falls right on her face. Like to me, maybe that's what was going on.
I
he was trying to hold himself. But over and over and over again, every penalty wasn't just some insignificant penalty. Like, yeah, we got a lead. It doesn't really hurt us. This one killed them.
No,
every single one.
Listen, going into
them,
burned them down. Going into this game, the fear you would have is that Ben Roethlisberger is a Hall of Fame quarterback. He can extend plays. So you don't have a great pass rush anyway, but he's going to extend play. He can burn you. Not only did that not happen, he had intentional grounding. There were things that he had a 79 quarterback rating. And then you sit there and you say to yourself, well, Smith-Schuster's going to burn you or Antonio Brown's going to burn you. Nope. They did a terrific job. Matter of fact, there were some great catches by the Pittsburgh receivers. Sideline stuff that was phenomenal off the charts. You're going, yeah. Oh, my God, did he make that catch? They weren't – their passing game – was not fluid at all because your secondary right. was playing well. And yet, this is how you lose in Pittsburgh?
I would
with
say,
14 penalties, just, eight pre-snap?
There's so many killers, too. I mean, you talk about that great play, that special teams play down at the one when it was Burkhead to Jonathan
play.
Jones to
yeah.
Burkhead. So that was like this great play that you sat there as a Patriot fan and said, okay, this is going to make a difference. And the first play from scrimmage at the one is Stephen Ridley for 12 yards.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh. And then it was a deep ball, and then the interception. But the interception came at the Patriots' 25-yard line or so because at first and goal, first down, first and 10 with the one, Stephen Ridley, 12 yards.
Payback is a bitch.
Another pass to, I think it was Schuster or maybe it was Washington or Antonio Brown. Three plays later, you're already at midfield. And you're like, Jesus. Even like that great special teams play. Just washed out. Boom, Stephen Ridley for 12.
Now, they made some big plays, and yet... You're right, Lou. The very next player, two plays later, you're sitting there going, what are we doing here? But Ridley couldn't help himself because he had, what, two catches? 12 yards? Is that what he had?
Two carries. On? I mean, that
two
one for 12.
Two carries, rather.
I think he made another one for three.
Oh, he got his revenge.
Oh, at the end of the game, he goes,
got his revenge.
Oh, I got them back.
Yeah.
I told them.
Two other carries for 4 yards.
What are you talking about? You've been bounced around to three different teams. Right.
So think about the Steelers because the other thing that happens is people start looking at draft picks. Players that are on the roster, depth that they have.
Discussion. We get into that.
I mean, we can. You're like the scout expert when it comes to the drafting process.
Not really.
I just
look at facts. I look at people that have been drafted and impact, and I don't see it. And I know the rookie class this year. There was some high hopes for some guys. They've been
injuries.
Banged up, hurt, whatever. You've seen Sonny Michel.
Bentley.
So maybe these guys are the ones that step in, but. When do you pay the price of three or four bad years of football? A bad drafting? When? Yeah, I don't know, maybe this year, next
Lou
year, the year
gone.
After.
So
that's when you start paying and you start seeing it.
And here's what's interesting. When you look at who you have to face. So let's just take the conference, who you have to face in the conference. You look at Kansas City right now. Kansas City's biggest weakness is on the defensive side of the ball. They suck. Defensively, they're horrible. But in this offseason, they're going to have a lot of money because they have an MVP candidate quarterback who they have under their control for the next 2 and possibly 3 years. They can get them for that fifth year at about $2 million a year for each of the next 2 years. So it's going to allow them to do what the Patriots did early on in their run in the early 2000s. What the Rams have been able to do with Goff, you can put all of your money invested all in the defensive side of the ball because you've got a cheap quarterback. Now, eventually, you're going to have to pay the price down the road. But you can build something off of that. Kansas City, and I still think they're going to stumble this year because I still see some red flags with them. But they have a window of opportunity here over the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. There's no question mm-hmm. about that. They do.
No, I would agree 100%. And now, I guess, Kareem Hunt was only going to be year three anyways. So it's not like you got to worry about his big money or big deal, whatever. You're still a few years away from that. But now you got to go up. Maybe you go spend the money on Le'Veon Bell. I don't know.
That would be interesting. But they have plenty of money. They have plenty of money to deal with. I would go with Jalen Samuels. That's who I would go with. Why not?
Bring back Brandon Bolden.
Let me ask you this. Was he any worse than what Bell would have been in the game yesterday?
No, listen. Brandon Bolden, what Frank Gore did, what Brandon Bolden did, and what Jalen Samuels did, does make you think about drafting a running back in the first round. Just saying. Just saying.
Oh, released Brandon Marshall?
Yeah, that's all. That's all I'm saying.
He's free again. Brandon Marshall's free again. Poor guy. All right, 617-779-7937. Right back to the phone calls next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, boys, let's rip through these phone calls.
Sure.
And then if you miss Bill Belichick, we'll get to Belichick for you. Here's John in Maine. John, what do you got? That was simple. Go to Mike. Nice. Mike's in Southie.
That was quick.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick, what are the chances that Giselle was right and Tommy's taking a few bumps to the head?
Ooh.
He's been playing sluggish all year long.
Sluggish?
Yeah. He doesn't seem to have the same pop to him.
Well,
I know sometimes the arm really shines, but he just kind of seemed to be a step behind.
What are you talking about? He's had a great running season. Been his best running season ever.
1,000 yards.
I think when I think of Tom the last 3 or 4 weeks, I would use overly cautious.
Yes.
When it interceptions, hits, going down, giving up on plays, it looks to me like a guy that listen, who wants to get hit? But he it seems like he's delivering the football and falling down before the hit is even there.
TB12 method.
Yeah, but before it was,
can't wait
it was
for to see the quarterback
learning,
camps.
But learning how to fall. Now, you get hit, learning how to fall, that's a TB12 method, right? Avoiding injury by falling properly and all this other stuff. But now,
self-preservation.
Mattresses on the floor.
It's going down before that.
Can you imagine, like, you know, the Tom Brady school of quarterback? All right, now we're going to practice the throw and fade.
The TB12 method is more than just better training. It's better living.
You're going to throw and then fall to your left.
You're going to start working on falling and throwing at the same time.
Yeah, but there's no one around me, Mr. Brady. I don't care what happens. It's all about keeping
healthy.
You'll
be there next week for your team, though.
See, I think that's what it is. If you want to play till you're 45, it means you have to show up every Sunday. It means you have to change what you're doing a little bit. I'm not sure it's a good thing in the long run. Here's Paulie in Dedham. What do you got, Paul?
Hey, afternoon, boys.
Listen,
how do we take an overview of all this and stuff, but mostly the stuff that you guys are saying, or the stance you're taking about what's going on. How do we get from the Detroit game to run a long string with one snap fool against Tennessee, okay, and to the point we had enough confidence, everybody, and speaking for myself, I did, and I stated it, they were going to go down and win that game in Miami, which they essentially did. Okay, they followed through, and they won that game because
they
built the confidence in us we thought they were going to win that game. How do we get to one snap fool, that's the bad play, that's laid on the laps of the coaching staff? How do we blame the players on the field and then go to Pittsburgh, a game we shouldn't even matter, and then the rest off on the course of the football game? And
Stop it. Come on. You don't.
Name with you. Specifically.
Do you really believe?
You like examples, Glenn. I'm going to give you 5 examples.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Keep it to 2.
Quick.
We got to move. Give me 2.
The defense on Jones.
Him off guard.
The holding on Cannon. The holding on Shaq Mason. The defensive neutral
now,
violation.
Paulie, you're full of it. Paulie, you're such a fan. You're just going to sit there and make excuses for
Jonathan him. Jones will give you.
Yeah. Yep, I'll give you that. A couple of penalties here or there, I will give you. But 14? Stop it. Making excuses. Here's Peter and Chicopee. Pete.
Hey. Yeah, I think a lot of this season started in the offseason, was set by the tone that the two best players spent the entire offseason giving the middle finger to the coach, which set the tone in the locker room. And I'll tell you what I wonder, that, you know, for one guy who's got his foot out the door in retirement in Gronk, and another guy who doesn't find football fun anymore, I wonder how much effort they put in during the week. I'm not saying they
Who doesn't find it fun anymore?
Oh, you tell me Brady went from I can't be around the team in the off season because I don't find football as fun to all of a sudden.
Let me throw this one out at you. Roethlisberger won that game yesterday. He missed camp. He missed OTAs.
But that's got nothing to do with Brady. That's not the equivalent.
I'm just telling you, it makes your point kind of moot,
different
right?
Guys. We heard all the time how, you know,
so Brady needs it, but Ben doesn't.
How does that have anything to do with Marcus Cannon or Trent Brown moving? How does that have anything to do with that?
Let me tell you, because when your best players buy into the program the most, the guys who are not the best players realize, you know what, I better do everything I can. When the best players send their messages, screw the coach,
Peter.
Peter,
why does that happen 14 games later? Because for the first 13 games, they were the least penalized team in the National Football League. You're making no sense.
The inconsistencies of this offense and of this team all year trails to a lack of mental awareness, and that goes from a lack of taking coaches.
Okay, but the fact is that
the off-season stuff to me, That was out the window by week 4, 5,
absolutely.
6.
It moved on.
It's you can't bring that up now. You want the first 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Great. But after that, They've been together long enough to figure this thing out.
Well, Lou, they got penalized 14 times yesterday. 3 weeks ago, they got none. They're the least penalized team in the league. So suddenly on week 14, people say, hey, you know what? I'm pissed off about Brady and Gronk in the offseason. I'm going to take it out on the field, and we're going to commit penalties. Stop it. Tom's in a car. Hi, Tom.
Paulie made my point. Patriot toadies can never admit when the Pats get beat. It's always they made mistakes or they made unforced errors, bad decisions. But yet when they win, I never hear anyone talk about the other teams making their mistakes. The Pats have been fortunate, but they're fallible. They're pro athletes. Who knows why they went offside? Maybe they were jumpy because they were getting outplayed. Maybe the noise. But they made mistakes. Admit it. They were outplayed yesterday. The Pats made two plays, and they were both busted. Hogan was open on a busted play, and Edelman got open on a busted play. And you can look at the Steelers. They had plays where they made mistakes where they could have put that game away. So just admit they got beat, and their reign is over. You guys are smelling it, and you can't admit it.
Well, I don't know. We can't admit it.
You're smelling
the wrong guys. No, I think Romo even said it. It's like it was like a 4-point game or a 7-point game, and it feels like Pittsburgh should be up by more. I mean, it was 20-10 possession in the first half.
Didn't you feel pretty good at halftime? You're sitting there saying six penalties, and you're very much in the game, and you haven't done squat. You've had 22 plays.
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh, when they missed that chip shot field goal, they were down there, first and goal, whatever it was, and then, you know, Roethlisberger takes threw the ball away, right? That's the penalty there. So they had opportunities to finish this thing, you know, and they didn't. I mean, the Patriots had all the penalties and everything. They got all played.
Yeah, anybody that's making up excuses that the officials screwed them. Teddy, the Fritz Merlis, who does it all the time, yesterday sat and said, I can't complain. I can't blame the officials for this one. They get outplayed. They, you know, when you commit 14 errors like that, maybe a couple of them were bad. Maybe Pittsburgh got away with a couple in the opposite end, right? So it kind of evens out in the end. But you can't tell me that eight pre-snap penalties? That's your problem. That's the
Steelers'
problem.
The Steelers only had four for 40 yards.
Yep.
But they had a really costly, critical penalty. Well, at least Ben Roethlisberger did. In the grass, where he threw it away, and it was intentional grounding.
Yep.
Loss of down, pushed them out of, ended up missing that field goal, right? So that was a huge play by them. But otherwise, they were pretty clean. For the most part.
See, I'm with you. What pissed me
off.
And
even the Joe Hayden pass interference on Chris Hogan.
Which was pass interference.
It was Hayden stupid. He didn't need to do it. It was so dumb.
Well, he's sitting there arguing. Say, what are you talking about? Dumb. It was obvious.
It wasn't even catchable.
No, it was very obvious. But that pisses me off the most, what you said earlier, Christian. You watch Pittsburgh today, and I agree that I thought their secondary did a pretty good job at times during the course of the game. That wasn't a great team. Roethlisberger was average at best in that game yesterday. Antonio Brown may be the best receiver in the league. He wasn't yesterday. Smith-Schuster's been made their best receiver all year long. He wasn't yesterday. That was one of their weakest games that both of those receivers had. What did Jesse James have? One pass? And McDonald had a touchdown, right? So their tight ends did nothing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't.
And you lose that game?
And you look at the Patriots, their offense, they only scored 7 points. But after the Antonio Brown touchdown, they didn't do anything. They kicked one field goal, and that guy was sweating and, you know, going nuts.
All right, if you missed
chucking his helmet.
Chucking his helmet. If you missed this at the top of the program, some people may not have heard Bill Belichick earlier. Christian made a declaration at the beginning of the show, and he said that Bill Belichick, because he knows, he's
know
worked
Bill.
For Bill, he knows Bill, that Bill will treat this differently today. He won't be down and out. He will be very cheery and upbeat. So you listen for yourself whether Fourier is correct or wrong on this one. Bill Belichick coming up next.
Boston's number one morning show, Mud and Callahan.